Black Friday, wow, shop, Wayfair now, month long big deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out this song. Best in decor, Black Friday scores.
Garlands and trees,
saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses, two sheets, better you. Everything home, these things in chrome. Here's a quick plug, area rugs, fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is how.
Win the season.
The Old West was weird and often terrifying. This week, we have the story of El Muerto, the Dead One, also known as the Headless Horseman of Texas. And we're bringing in author and historian John LeMay to tell us this crazy story. Saddle up, folks. This one's wild. I'm Alan Brill, and this is a brilliant tidbit. A little thought nugget from the mind of Brill. A tasty little snack to tide you over between main episodes. But warning, it still gets dark in here. Not only was the Old West wild, y'all, but man, was it weird. When you hear the Headless Horseman, you probably picture the Hessian riding on a large black steed, sans head, a flaming pumpkin in his hand as he rides down Ichabod Crane in the woods of Sleepy Hollow. But that's not the Headless Horseman I'm talking about tonight. This one roamed the plains of Texas on a wild black Mustang, his head dangling from the saddle. He's impervious to bullets and arrows. And while all these things are true, he wasn't a supernatural being. No, the truth is far stranger than that. And for a story this strange, I'm bringing in an expert, and I have been excited for this all week. I have the honor of welcoming John LeMay to the show, author of over 50 books on film and Western history, including the Cowboys and Saurians series. You can find this story in his book, Cowboys and Zombies. He has written for True West and the Tombstone Epitaph and is a past president of the board of directors for the Historical Society of Southwest New Mexico. Mr. LeMay, it is an honor. Welcome to Brilliant.
Thank you, Alan. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, like I said, been excited to talk about this all week. Now, a couple of episodes ago, I covered the Red Ghost, and that's in researching that, that's where I came across this one. It's starting to seem like the Old West was just littered with corpses strapped to various animals riding across the
desert.
Oh,
cool. Well, when we're done, I'm going to look up the Red Ghost. I mean, you probably don't want to go over it again, but I've never heard of that, so I'm going to look that up later.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely worth a check out. It was, a corpse strapped to a camel. Probably left over from the U.S. Camel Corps.
Okay, so now I have heard of it.
Actually had a body count, which is more than, you know, a lot of the monsters I cover, but
yeah.
So, yep. And I came across this story, you know, I typed it in to search it, and your book came up, ordered it, loved it.
Thank you.
Cowboys and Zombies, y'all, if you haven't done it, it's a whole series of them. So be sure you check that out. But this story is so bizarre, it even has Bigfoot. I mean, kind of.
Technically,
exactly. So, what can you tell us about it?
You know, when you deal with folklore, you have kind of the widely accepted version, and then you have the real version. But luckily, the real version of this story is just as good as the one that's a little bit off. Most renditions will go that there was this horse rustler in Texas. Back around the year 1850, he was only known as Vidal. They didn't know anything else about him but that name, just that he was called Vidal. And the Comanche back then were always running off with people's horses in that portion of Texas, and they ran off the horses, or there was a bad Comanche raid around the time, and this rustler, Vidal, he decided to take advantage of the distraction. And he stole some horses, so the story goes, from an old Texas Ranger named Creed Taylor. And Creed Taylor went on the tail of Vidal, and along the way he met up with General Bigfoot Wallace just by happenstance. And so they joined forces, and they managed to find the rustler's encampment. And, you know, they snuck up on Vidal and his men in the night, ambushed them. And because Vidal was one of the worst horse rustlers in Texas at the time, Bigfoot Wallace really wanted to make an example out of him. He wanted to do something memorable. And, you know, you did mention Ichabod Crane, you know, by Washington Irving earlier. And the story goes that Bigfoot Wallace was familiar with that story of the headless horseman, and so he had the idea to basically decapitate Vidal. And so they managed to round up a wild Mustang. They tied it between two trees, I think is the story. There's many variations again, but they managed to tie down the Mustang and then tie the corpse to the back of the Mustang so that it would sit in the saddle. They stuffed the decapitated head in Vidal's sombrero and then hung the sombrero from the cantle of the saddle so it would bounce and swing as the horse rode along. And they cut the horse free so that it would just roam the desert. And, people would see this horse with a headless rider and they were scared to death of it. And people would shoot at it. And it was even scarier because it wouldn't fall. It stayed upright because it was, it had rigor mortis set in. It was tied to the horse, and so that's where it got the name of El Muerto, the dead one, like the unkillable one. And I guess it was seen quite a bit by the soldiers outside of Fort Inge, near Uvalde, Texas. Or did I
Terrifying
say,
sight, yeah.
absolutely. And eventually, some ranchers came across the wild Mustang and they were able to observe that, oh, this is just a corpse tied to this horse. And again, there's differing versions. Sometimes the ranchers kill the Mustang to get to the body. Sometimes I think they just subdue the Mustang, unhitch the body, and let it go. But the point is, eventually, they buried Vidal. And, after that, they started to see his ghost, naturally. But when I say that's the folktale version, I only say that because Creed Taylor, as it turned out, was not part of the expedition to hunt down Vidal. Creed Taylor just told the story, and it was a story that he said he got from Bigfoot Wallace himself. And they're basically the same story, other than just that Creed Taylor was never part of the expedition that set out to capture Vidal. He just heard the story from Bigfoot Wallace and he told it and spread it around. And researchers say that Creed Taylor's descendants say that was a true story. And then people around Texas as well, they also say, yeah, no, there really was a headless corpse attached to this horse for a couple of years, or I'm not sure how long the corpse stayed on the back of the horse, actually. They don't really specify that in the story.
Right. And I think I read like whenever they, found the body, it was desiccated and mummified, and that's why it stuck around so long. So, what a crazy story. One of my favorites. And whenever you're exploring folklore or legends like this, it's always you have to dig through so much to get to the truth. But at the base, it really does seem like there was a corpse strapped to a Mustang roaming the plains.
And Creed Taylor, he had the backstory of Vidal. He said he was a defector from one of the generals in the Mexican army during the Mexican-American War. And so Creed Taylor had supposedly met Vidal at one of the battles. I forget the name of it. But so he supposedly knew the rustler, at least, but he just wasn't part of the party that killed him or anything like that.
Right on, right on. Yeah, that's it. Doesn't seem to have done a lot of good as far as sending a message, since they didn't tell anybody. Everybody just thought it was a ghost, but maybe one flaw in their plan there.
And then of course there was also this author named Mayne Reid, who was one of the soldiers at Fort Inge. I think that's how you say it. It's spelled INGE. I assume it's Fort Inge, near Uvalde. And so Mayne Reid would hear the stories about the headless horseman. He might have even have seen it, but he wrote a really epic novel. I mean, it's over 100,000 words in length. It's a big book. And it's all about the headless horseman terrorizing a plantation. And it doesn't utilize Bigfoot Wallace or Creed Taylor in it, but that book, nobody remembers it today, but that book in 1865 or whenever it was that it was published, that was a big book. Like it was a widely read, very popular book. If they had motion pictures back then, they probably would have made a film adaptation out of it. And it is still in print where you can get it, but it's, obviously a very dated book.
Right, yeah, absolutely, man. I really love history and legends and digging through them. And like I said, I know it it can get challenging, especially here in North Missouri. I'm in Jesse James country, so talk about digging through legends to get the facts. There's a lot to go there. And while I got you on, anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I will fess up that the book Cowboys and Zombies is more of a fantastic title than a, really accurate. So, back then, they didn't really have zombies. Zombies are a very modern concept outside of like Haitian voodoo. Our idea of a zombie is of like a flesh-eating, corpse. That's more from the movies. But there are a couple of stories in the books about, people who were dead and came back to life. There's even a couple of other Headless Horseman stories in the book, so it does have some reanimated corpses in them, even if it's not maybe a zombie as we would think of it today.
That was the other thing when I read the book. I'm like, how many headless horsemen were
There were
there?
quite a, I could probably do a whole book just on Headless Horsemen of the Southwest.
It was crazy, like I said, and strapping corpses onto wild animals, apparently a thing. I mean, that's two more times than I thought it would happen, so
Well, and just while we're on the subject, for something I've never talked about before, because I didn't know about it when I wrote this book, I live in Roswell, New Mexico, and southeastern portion of the state, and south of me is Carlsbad, and we're both along the Pecos River. Well, I guess down in Carlsbad they had something they called it the Horseless Headsman instead of the Headless Horseman, but it was a
nice.
ghost that wandered up the Pecos River, and it was just a man with a horse's head. And so that was like our local ghost, and I don't know if that was just a silly folk tale where they were trying to be, stupid, or if they really saw a man with a horse's head.
I'm here for the
But
story, so either way, yeah.
the longer ago it happened, the less guilt you have to feel about repeating it, I guess.
Exactly. This is out of nowhere, but stationed at Fort Bliss in El Paso, and in a lot of time I never made it to Roswell. It's one of the things I really wanted to
Oh,
do.
yeah.
I was there, but I had a car problem one weekend when I had a weekend pass, and another something came up. Anyway, we was living in a Kansas station at Fort Riley, so we drive back and forth. And there's several of them, but there's one big stretch of New Mexican desert that we would go through, and it was 3 hours long or something, like one of those times that first time you didn't stop to get gas, you do. And we always stopped at this little town a little bit more than halfway into it called Corona. I probably stopped there 8 times. Had no idea that's like where one of the crash sites was.
The idea is lightning struck the ship over Corona and like it exploded and it rained down debris, and then the ship kept going south towards Roswell, and that's where the main like fuselage, whatever you'd call it in terms of a flying saucer, touched down, and then they took the wreckage to a base in Roswell, hence the Roswell incident, though. Yeah, that's correct. Most of the action did take place in a little town called Corona.
They're not capitalizing on that either. I
They don't
saw, yeah,
care.
they don't care at all.
They don't seem to care that I know of, but yeah. And that's fine. Like, more power to them,
Absolutely. Just the irony of, like being a not as big of a UFO nerd then as I was now, but yeah, it's like all the times I stopped there, never once did I look around and consider where I was, because didn't know. Just like, oh, thank goodness the gas station's open. We're going to be in trouble. Okay, folks, at this point, Mr. LeMay started getting into the Roswell conspiracy, and the internet mysteriously cut out on me. Is it a coincidence, or was the government listening? Were we getting too close to the truth? Probably a coincidence. But I'd like to thank him so much for coming on and telling the amazing story of El Muerto, the dead one, the headless horseman of Texas. And so thank you again, Mr. LeMay. That's John LeMay. Just Google him. Search him in on Amazon. You'll get the full repertoire of his books, and they are fantastic. The Cowboys and Saurian series, which the cowboys and dinosaurs, cowboys and zombies, cowboys and monsters, and a lot of other great historical books other than these. He does the strange. Like I said, I got it, and I got Cowboys and Zombies. It's amazing. I'm definitely ordering more of his work, and I couldn't encourage you more to do the same. Again, just go Amazon, Barnes and Noble, just Google it, John LeMay, LeMay, and help support him. And that's it. And hats off. Del Muerto, long may you roam the deserts, headless, terrifying people. And hey guys, I will see you next week.